God's taking over this process. And when that process is taken over by God, you can't stand in the way of it. Because when God goes to work, he goes to work to free people from the root. And we've discussed this over the last several weeks about being in the series, Rejected Like David. God is not into dealing with symptoms. Symptoms come back. He's interested in dealing with the root so it could be gone. So you don't have to keep vacillating back and forth between the wilderness and the promised land, where you can actually stay in the promised land and receive all that God has for you because the root's gone. God said, I'm trying to get you to stop looking back to Egypt. There's nothing there that was good for you. Nothing. You might have felt, quote, comforted. You might have felt like you had it together, but that pleasure was lying to you. He said, I got it for you in the promised land. It doesn't mean there's not going to be giants. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to throw what you know. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to stand up and declare who I am. But if you do that, he said, I'll give you the victory. Why do you think I send you in? Because you do need me. Because it's about his purpose and not yours. And once you realize that you're part of something bigger, you're able to trust God a little bit more with the process and not yourself. Because left to your own devices, you wouldn't make it. But because this work is a spiritual work and God is doing it on a spiritual level, God knows how to work it. He knows the tools to use in order to get you to where you need to be. And so when you declare things like scriptures, like God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind, and you put it out there, you know that there's going to be a test that comes against that. So you can even get a sense that God is doing this, and I'm just telling you right now with the ladies, God is shifting and transforming the ladies here at this church, because God is getting ready to use you to affect the lives of women who are bound and who are stuck. And there is a reason why you have gone through everything that you have gone through, because you will be a reflection of God's faithfulness to someone else. And God said, I'm going to do it in you before I do it in someone else. I have to have a testimony. I have to have someone to declare my goodness so that someone could see, maybe I have a chance to get over this. So all that stuff that you went through, all that abuse, addiction, loss, God said, I'm turning around for your good, and I'm going to help you stand up as a trophy of my grace, so that people can look at it and say, if God can restore her, God can restore me. This is something bigger than you. God is not interested in you going back and forth in your relationship with him. He is interested in breaking you free from those things that are holding you back. And why do we talk about this consistently? Because it is the one thing that the enemy loves to do. He loves to hold on. Because he knows once he loses the grip, it's over. It's over. So don't agree with him, because the more you agree with him, the stronger his grip gets. If you will rebut up against him as you submit to God and resist him, he'll have to go. But if you agree, he stays. You know, one of the best ways to see where people are at in terms of where you stand with them or your relationship with them is to see how they react when you disagree with them. Your 40 friends get cut down in half. And then as you walk with the Lord even further, that begins to drop down even a little bit more, because you want the things of God and not everybody wants what you want. Your yes means no, gospel of relationships. And are you okay with that? Because when God gets to use, get ready to use you, what he does is that he begins to separate you to himself and begins to speak to you about things in your life so that he can deal with those things, so that you're able to be in a position where he has your ear. My concern is that there are a lot of people who have your ear. And it's hard to hear what the Spirit of God is saying when everybody else is speaking. I'm not just talking about today speaking, but I'm talking about family origin stuff still speaking to you about when you were a kid. You'll always feel like you're the victim. You'll never get over this. They never did. Blank, blank, blank. But there's something inside of you that says, come hell or high water, I am getting over this in my life. Because if God has promised it to me, I'm going to get it. I don't care if they didn't get it. If God promised it to me, I will walk in health in my body. I will have soundness of mind, and I will have money. I will have money. Why? Because it's a testimony of God's faithfulness. As I've been faithful to him, that I don't have to be poor and be a Christian. That I can be blessed, because when I'm blessed, everyone else can be blessed too. I can be blessed and still praise God and still have him in the right position. I can be blessed and know where it came from. I can be blessed and know that if God gave it to me, it's mine. If the Lord takes it away from me, he's still good. If he gives it to me, he's still good. But if he does bless me with it, he counts me worthy, not only worthy, but faithful to be able to handle it. So accept the blessing. Walking in healing, don't feel bad about it. You've got joy, don't feel bad about it. God's blessing you, don't feel bad about it. God is blessing people right now. Do not feel bad about that blessing. No one knows what you went through. No one knows the hardship. No one knows how you cried. No one knows what you did without. No one knows how faithful you were. Don't. Sometimes you got to speak to the enemy like it is. We try to wield scripture, and we don't really know what the scripture says, so we like wield it because we think it's going to work. But sometimes you just got to tell them like it is. Like, be you. What you use to battle the enemy is not what I use. The word is the same, but you know the tricks. And God has wired you in certain ways to be able to come against him. There are conversations that you need to have with him that are not so nice sometimes. So when you look at this series, and John talked about it this morning, this series has helped people revisit some key points in their life that helped change them. And if you look back over your life, you can see that there were some things in my life, points that, and times in my life where I changed for the better, because God used it to grow me up. And if you're not careful, you'll forget those things and you'll stay stuck into a pattern of rehearsing old things in your mind that God has already helped you deal with and free you from. Especially where you're in the process and God is working in your life, the enemy has a tendency to come up. He just loves to bring up stuff. But if you don't know that he's already been defeated, you won't keep him there and keep moving on. You got to learn to keep moving even though he's talking. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you're a Christian and you're overcoming, you got to learn to keep doing what God's calling to do even though he's whispering in your ear. It's not going to happen. You got to tell him what's up and keep moving. I'm going to do it anyway. If I come up here, my leg's broken, and I can hardly speak, I'm going to get the words out. Because the reality of it is that it's the faith that scares him. So if you have faith in your life that says, come, whatever comes in my life, I'm going to do it anyway, it scares him, because there's something about a Christian who walks in faith that's dangerous. That's why when you read the Old Testament, it surprises people, but it also, it inspires people for the things that they did supernaturally.
Even as you move over to the New Testament, things that they did under the power of the Holy Spirit as they people were raised back to life and they began to do miracles, it just inspires people because of the reality of the gospel. It's life. And the enemy is scared of life. That's why he speaks death to you all the time. He's scared of it. He had it. He knows the power of it. Why do you think he fights you against having it? So there is power in the gospel. There's power in walking it out and being a child of God. You just got to start seeing it. You got to start seeing it in your life. And it doesn't come by feeling. It comes by faith first. So if I'm looking for a feeling first, it will not come the way you think it's going to come. I don't feel like working out right now, but once I do it, it changes my perspective and the results I get from it make me feel good. I don't feel good necessarily all the time before I do it. But once I do it, I'm like, it's good for me. It was painful and it hurt, but guess what it did for me? It opened me up. And this is what exercising does. I'm not just talking about physically, but there's a spiritual parallel. When I begin to push myself, even spiritually, it opens me up for things to move. Move. There is a direct parallel when it comes to your physical, your emotional, and your spiritual health. And you're going to hear that consistently. There is a direct parallel. God designed you to move. He designed things in your body to move. That's why one of the worst things for you to do when you get sick is to do nothing. Because you can fall into a depression and you can get worse, where in reality, that sickness probably should have been a lot shorter, but because you didn't move, it stayed in you. You got to move. It's counterintuitive because of how you feel about it. But once you turn in faith and do something about it, things change. Things change. Emotionally, things need to move in your life. They need to move. And the only way they begin to move is that if you allow God to butt you up against situations that are going to cause you to deal with your fear. If you cannot deal with your fear, you will stay stuck the rest of your life in emotional infancy and never rise up and become the overcomer that God has called you to become because you are scared. And you have to ask yourself, what am I scared of? Is it something that's valid, or is it something that you have given into just because? Just because. If it's the unknown, welcome to life. I'm looking for something that's solid. That's Jesus. I'm looking for the perfect outcome. That's Jesus. So if I'm waiting for it to be right all the time, I miss out on the opportunity to walk by faith and not by sight. So I have to walk by faith in order for me actually begin to see. That's how it is in the Christian world when you look at the comparison between the world itself. The world says, if I see it, I'll believe it. In the Christian world, I believe it, then I see it. You walk by faith, you don't walk by sight. I'm believing God for healing. Declare your healing, walk it out. Stop eating at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm believing that God's going to help me get back to my former size 3 self at 17. Well, let's be realistic. Amen. Let's be very realistic. I'm believing for salvation to come to my household. Very doable. Let's believe God that he's going to bring salvation to your household, your whole household, your extended household, because he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There will be stuff. I'm going to pray about that. I believe that I'm going to walk in health. All right, what am I doing to help put me on that path to success? Emotionally, I'm going to start to grow up. What does that look like for me? I'm going to start doing hard things and stop taking myself out of situational blessings because it might be difficult for me to do. Since when has anything worth doing been easy? Never. Since when has following Jesus ever been easy? Never. And you get the revelation every once in a while. Oh, it's going to be like this. Okay. Might as well. It's going to be, oh, all right. You're going to throw it at me that way? Let's just go ahead and do it. You might as well just get up and realize that it's not going to come easy. We're going to have to sweat over this a little bit. We're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to go in and do some stuff in order to get what God's called me to do. But might as well just go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Take the fake eyelashes off. Take everything off. Weave down. We got to go hardcore El Natural against this thing. One-on-one, if we got to do it, let's do it. Because you can't fight this spiritual walk fake. How are you going to win fake? Well, I'll try to win, but I got certain things going on in my life right now, and, you know, a lot of compromise going on, and you're not going to win that way. You're just not going to win. You're not going to win this type of fight by doing what you want to do and then tapping God when you need him. God's not like that. And we could probably look back, and if you're like that, well, God saved me from so much of my life, and then what we do is we forget sometimes what he does, and then we go back to our old way of living. God's not like that. He's like, I want to be with you always. That's why some of you are not delivered right now. Because God said, once I do it, I know what they're going to do. Turn right back to, oh, thank God. And so he keeps you in there so that he can get in with you. So that more of his image becomes who you are. So that once he does free you, that you continue to walk with him. That's what it's about. It's not just about one and done. God did what I asked him to do, and that's it. Now, God says, I want to talk with you still. I want to walk with you still. I want you to become more like me. Let's do this thing together. I'm not interested in just freeing you so you can leave me. God said, no. That was your former self. You know, growing up, you used to lie just to get out of stuff, just so you don't have to. You know, the consequences weren't as big. So you'd lie, man. Okay, thank God that's over. That don't work with God. That don't work with God. You can't lie to God and be like, well, I'm okay. You know you're not okay. You know you're not okay. Your body's falling apart emotionally. You can't watch a movie without crying. And all of a sudden, God's like, there's some stuff we have to deal with. If you'll let me get in, I'll help you deal with the root so we can move on. So the next time that comes at you, you can handle it and deal with it and keep moving. Isn't that what God does? Handle it, keep moving. Handle it, keep moving. God is just not some God up there who wants you to struggle the rest of your life wondering whether or not, number one, you're loved, and two, whether or not you can do it. God does not get pleasure in you wandering and wondering about if you can overcome or not. God doesn't get pleasure. That's why he's often pushing you in and saying, do it. Do it. There is no can I or can't I. It's do it. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, if you will just do it, God said, I'll meet you. I can't do it. You recognize you can't do it in your own strength? Fantastic. But do it anyway. I can't speak. Yeah, you can. Do it. And to get over your head games so that God can begin to use you. You got to realize a couple things about your life. It's harder than you think. It's not going to turn out the way you want it to turn out all the time. God's faithful. Yes. Well, what else? It's harder than you think. It's not going to turn out like you want it to turn out all the time. God's faithful. I thought it'd be easier. It's not. It's not. This is the narrow road that leads to eternal life, not a continual life here. Eternal life. David had some problems here in week 6. Go ahead, Maria. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained, everybody say remained, in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. You know what that means. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. So David sent this word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite, and Joab sent him to David. Verse 7, when Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. See what he's doing? So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told, Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home? Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my Lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. Then David said to him, stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, put Uriah out in front where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw him, so he will be struck down and die. Verse 16, so while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. King David, adulterer, murderer, conspirator, plotter, all because he was not where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. Everyone in the springtime, when kings went out to war, David decided, ah, man, we're good. We're not talking about an 85-year-old David, a 90-year-old David. We're talking about strong David. Supposed to be fighting, but decides, I'm going to take the night off. Actually, I'm going to take the season off. Yeah, man, I'm going to take the season off. I know you guys, we got it. The problem with taking seasons off is that those seasons can end up coming back to get you. All it takes is being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And if I know the Spirit of God, I know the Spirit of God was telling him, dude, do not go up on that roof. And even if he did and he saw it, because side note, God doesn't take temptation away. Even if he saw it, dude, just keep moving. Sin is conceived, and the result of it is death. In this particular situation, when you go down the rabbit trail, we know eventually God takes the kid. David fasts 7 days, God still takes the kid. And if you read further, but he still takes Bathsheba as his wife after this. And I don't have time to go into all this. You can read further down as Nathan came in and rebuked him and said, by the way, the sword now will never leave your home. And you're going to have issues now generationally because of this sin that you committed. Man, because God's heart and his intent was to give him more than what he had. Read it. But he said, because you did this, now I can't. Discredited before the eyes of God. God still used him. God still blessed him. Jesus is still in his line. But he could have got more. But because of this, he couldn't keep that lust under wraps. And I know we look at this story and some, how could he? There was no TV. There was nothing back then that we could sit in front of the TV and just watch for hours as just a pastime. If you're not fighting, if you're not doing something back then, the enemy you know was crouching. Like, what's up? What else can we do? He's a fighter. He's a warrior. He's called into battle. He's not doing what he's graced to do. And when he does that, the enemy says, I got him. When you don't do what you're graced to do, the enemy's sitting right there saying, I got him, licking his chops and saying, come on. When you don't do what God's asked you to do, you open yourself up to the enemy. I don't care what anybody else tells you. When you're not submitted to God and what he asked you to do, the enemy's sitting right there. The enemy's just right on the other side, just waiting to step in. Waiting to step in. Not to say that there's not going to be temptation. Now, well, I could submit to God. In fact, I have to be submitted to God because temptation's coming. The higher you go, David, the more God promotes you, the more I got to be submitted, because guess what? The enemy's just sitting right there like, man, I'd love to take him out right now and show all the world, number one, what a fraud he is and what a liar God is. And when you read further on in the story, God said, because you did this in secret, I'm going to expose this in public so everyone can see. Oh, man. If nothing else, don't do it. God will put you on display and you'll be a laughing stock, and it's not God's fault. But because God is righteous and he's just, he said, I'm going to expose it for what it is. If you don't think that God could expose, just watch Fox or CNN. Just keep watching it. Here's another one. Because God said, I'm going to start flushing people out. I don't care if you're anointed or not. God said, I'm going to start flushing you out. And that should keep you on your knees and submitted. Not that you have to be perfect. No one is. But the ability to resist temptation is a key for your success as a Christian. I don't care if you're 85, 45, or 12. People got sucked into pornography, not at 45 and 55. They got sucked in at 8 and 10. Still dealing with that stuff right now, and they can't get the images out of their mind of stuff that they saw because their uncle showed them something that they shouldn't have seen, and now they're stuck. Love God, but stuck. Just dealing with stuff internally. No temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man, God said. Common. Come. But with it, I'll provide a way of escape. What was David's escape? If you think about it, go back downstairs. Write a psalm. Or get on your horse and go to war. Have you ever had that conversation with God? Where you're in a season and you're trying to deal with some things that are going on in your life, and God just simply says, just do what I ask you to do. Lord, all this temptation, I know, just want you to do what I ask you to do. Yeah, I've been in community a month. Not on other people. I don't know the last time you prayed. So why don't you just do the things I've asked you to do, and you'll build up some resistance. If you expect, well, it's just going to happen. No, you're going to build up some resistance. How do we resist here at this church? It's on the wall. That's how you build up resistance. Enemy's coming at me. Okay, it's good. He's going to come. He's usually coming because a couple of things. The Lord's using him to get you where you need to go. And he's trying to teach you something. Or you're learning it. I can't get the enemy to stop chirping in my ear. Well, if you'll start talking back, it'll change. You can only take so much until finally you stand up to it and God says, that's what I've been waiting for. Now let's go to work. But we're waiting for the invitation. Lord, do the work. I'm trying to do the work. But every time I send something or someone to do the work, you buck up against it. And you go back into hiding. I'm trying to get you out of hiding. And so we're going to play this match continually. I'm trying to get you out. You're trying to go back in. I'm going to win. So we might as well stay out. Even if I have to put you on display, I'll get you out. Even if you have to look bad, I'm going to get you out. Because I'm that committed to your success and your victory. I don't want anybody coming. Too bad they're coming. I don't want to be encouraged. Too bad you will be. We run with this in our kids occasionally on seasonally. I don't want to do it. Why? I'm afraid. You're doing it. Those words in my house don't really go. I don't want to do it. Well, now you are. So that's good. Good conversation. But the results of it are worth it. But you have to go from, I don't want to, you know, I get to do this. And because I get to do it, I'm seeing value from it. Value from it. I can resist temptation if I'm submitted to God. If I'm not submitted, I can't resist. It doesn't work the other way. Are you submitted? If you're submitted, you can take whatever comes against you and still keep moving. If you're not, you got to be very aware of some things that you're doing in your life that are keeping some doors open. Why are a lot of Christians not following Jesus right now? Too many doors. Too many doors. Love Jesus in one season, having a hard time following Jesus in this season, because they weren't rooted. They weren't rooted. Why is God interested in being rooted? Because things are going to happen. Storms are going to come. People are going to leave. If you are not rooted in Jesus, you will lose your mind every time something difficult happens in your life. But if you know who you are, if you know who God has called you to be, if you know where your foundation comes from, if they come, if they go, if they stay, if they don't, whatever they say, you can still stay steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know the labor that you do is not in vain. Why do we keep moving? Jesus is worth it. Why do we keep doing hard things? The benefits, man. The benefits. It's going to hurt. I'm just going to do it anyway. There are a couple things up here, and they're very similar from last week, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, and we talk about some causes here and some treatments, but they're very similar. Maria, you can put them up here. It's number one, agreeing with a lie. I looked at this, and I'm like, the parallels are perfect. Agreeing with the fact that this is actually good for me when it's not. It's not. Adultery is never good. But in this case, he gave into it. And it goes and speaks to a deeper issue in his life. He was not where he was supposed to be. And the question is, are you? Two, signs and symptoms, disengagement. Exactly. I'm supposed to be fighting. I'm going to take this season off. That's what people do in churches. I'm doing season. I don't really like that. You know, some stuff happening. I'm going to take this season off till I feel like God's called me back in, or I'm going to find another one. Listen, I don't care wherever you go. If they're not preaching Jesus, if you're not being pushed and there's no power in that church, you can keep cycling back and forth until you try to find something that feels good. You're going to keep looking and you're going to keep dying. Seasonally. I know I haven't been in church in a while, but my favorite, I've been meaning to get back, you know. It's been like a year, man. You told me that last year. Where you at? You know, not real committed, not really submitted. I know this, commitment and submission are two different things. I'm committed. I'm committed to this. Listen, I start every morning at 7:30. I am at Starbucks. I'm third in line. You know what? Because that tall venti mocha shake, twisted upside down lemon cake ice cream thing that I get, I am there. And so every morning at 7:30, you best your bet. I know. Michelle asked me what I want, and man, that makes my day. But I'm committed. But church, nah. Woo, it's tough. Tough for me. That's a whole sermon. It's tough for me because I got to get my Starbucks on. I can't do church for an hour. I can't do it. Can't do it. That's a whole, but I know I'm at it in right now a little bit. I can't because I can't really submit to God because you might ask me to give up the Starbucks. And I can't give up the Starbucks because that's my lifeline. Check. Disengagement. Next. David, was that God's best for you? Probably not. Probably not. What's the treatment? Let's look at it. Accept correction. Remember, God redeems. God eventually does give Bathsheba another baby. And the name of that baby is Solomon. And Solomon grows up, ends up building a temple. God does redeem, but it was not without consequences. David would have consequences and issues generationally until he died and after he died. God does forgive, but there's still consequences. He redeems, but still lost a baby. Stay engaged in the fight, confident in what God has promised you. Simple, yet very difficult. Lord, I know I'm called to be king. Right now, I feel separated from you because of what I did. I still have a plan for your life, David. I love you. Be confident. I'm going to complete it. You may not do what you want to do because I have not caused you to build a temple, but your son. Are you okay with that? And because you're submitted to me, it'll work out. And because David was submitted, Solomon did build a temple. There's a difference, again, between being committed and being submitted. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Where are we going? I'll show you. Commitment only gets you so far. When I'm submitted, I can go through hell. I can go through dark valleys. I can go on top of the mountain. We can go under the water. We can go through the fire. But I know if I do all those things, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Your rod and your staff, they're with me. They're with me. They comfort me. Because I know surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know when I pass through the waters, they're not going to overtake me. When I go through, the fire's not going to burn me. Why? Because you're with me. Submission allows you to do that. Commitment is, I'm out once it gets hard. And that's what Jesus is looking for. All this stuff, all this COVID, all this conspiracy theory about what's happening. Jesus said, I'm tired of it. I'm looking for submitted people. All you people who make commitments, it's not good enough. I don't see it in your actions. Where's the church post-COVID? Home. Not really walking with Jesus like they should. Just home, not really submitted. Just kind of doing the thing. Now I'm just kind of doing my thing right now. Haven't been in church in about a year. I know, haven't been in church about a year and a half. I heard that. I'm like, what? Yeah, every once in a while I watch online. It's not the same. It's lazy. You're getting fat. Spiritually, you're dying. And there's no accountability. In the camera, yes, I'm saying this right now. There's no accountability. You're compromising and you're missing out on God's best, all because of your fear. You don't want people to see what you are or who you are, and you're a coward. I follow Jesus, but you can't show up. I'm not saying here. This is not about here. You can't show up. Yeah, I'm really committed, brother. I'm committed. Where are you at? I got to text you 8 times in order to get a response. I don't have the time or the energy to do that. If you don't want to be in, you're done. Y'all, you got to understand something about God. God does not play like you think he plays. We give God, well, God's very loving and he loves. God is not interested in you playing games. He wants his house full. He wants his church walking in power, love and self-discipline. He's serious about it. Serious. So when he's asking you to do hard things, he's trying to get you to stay on the right path and stay submitted because he knows how easy it is for you to check out. It's not easy to do this, but when you're submitted, you can do it. It's not easy to be a Christian today, but when you're submitted, you can do it. What's it worth to you? And this is the thing that God is calling you to call people out on, and I'm saying it in confidence. This is why I get paid the huge amount of money to do what I'm doing right now. It's not easy to be a Christian, but you're called to do the hard things to follow Jesus. If you're not, find something else. Because God would rather you to be hot or cold. Stop messing around. No one likes weak tea. Give it to me cold, I'll take it that way. I don't like it lukewarm, I'll spit it out of my mouth. God says, that's how I feel about people who profess me, but don't really live for me. I'd rather you be for me or against me. There's no gray line with God where it's like, man, well, God's like kind of gray. God is not gray on it. God allows you time to discover truth. Once you discover the truth sets you free for you to move in that direction, not for you to waffle back and forth on whether or not it's gray or not. Once you see that it's white or black, God says, now you got it. Now there's no excuse. So when you venture back in there, the same grace that I allowed you to find the truth in, it's not going to be the same grace for you to go back in. I'm allowing you time to discover me. Once you find it, let's walk it out. Don't take God for a fool and think that he doesn't see, because God will show you quick that he is very aware of your tendencies. Isn't that why he continually sent the Israelites back into captivity? Because he was very aware of their tendency. Committed, not really submitted. A couple questions. How do you view correction? It's one. Two, do you believe that God still has a plan for you when you miss the mark? Absolutely. Doesn't mean there's no consequences. I've lost it in time, lost it in money, whatever it is, but God can still redeem it and bring it back. It's the joy of walking. But once I achieve truth, guess what? I got to walk in that truth. That's what you're accountable for. You can't go back into like grayness. There's nothing there. You got to stay in the truth now because God holds you accountable for what you know. If you know hitting your kids isn't right and you're crossing line to abuse and you still do it, that's on you now and you're at risk for your kids being taken away. Has nothing to do with, well, God's grace. No, you crossed the line and started to abuse your kids. And the state now deems you unfit to be a parent. Has nothing to do with God's love. You crossed the line. And your kids had enough to say something about it. Be careful what you do at home. Because your kids will tell on you. If you're not submitted, all it takes is the enemy to come in real quick. And now you got issues at home that you have to deal with. And so if you're dealing with stuff at home, you got to watch the doors that have been open. Shut some stuff down. What have you allowed in the house that does not need to be there? Get it out. If you are Ted and Nancy, we got a problem. Instead of mom and dad. If your kids don't respect you enough to ask you before they do something, we got to have a little come to Jesus sit down meeting right here. If you think you run the household, sit down. And some of y'all might say, now I missed the mark. It's okay. Everybody does. We all fall short. Get back up. Do it again. What's the danger? The danger is staying back down and not getting back up. You're going to miss the mark tomorrow. You're going to miss it. But get back up and do it again and allow God to deal with you and allow that work to go on in your life. Allow the process to go on so you can be better. The only time you fail is if you quit. If you say, I'm out, not going back in the process, you fail, that's it. And you miss out on the opportunity for growth and breakthrough. Because most of the time that you're about ready to break through is when the heat is the hottest. Keep going. I know you're mad. I know stuff's going on in your life. Keep going. I get it. The enemy's coming up against you. Keep going. Keep going. Keep standing. Too much going on. Too much at stake right now. If we didn't miss it. Too much at stake. God's doing too much. All of a sudden, I'm going to check out right now. Why would you do that? Why would you check out now? Isn't there something like curiosity saying, man, I wonder what God's going to do? All this? And then you check out. You're on the sidelines. Now you're playing for the other team? That's about to lose? You're on the winning team. Don't change teams. Because it's hard. It's hard. It's harder when you win. People come for you. They want to take you out. So all that stuff that's coming against you is because I'm winning. You got to go through each other. But hold on. No, I'm not compromised. No, I know what this is. You got to know enough about Jesus to know what's up. No, I know what this is. I know where I'm going. I feel where I'm going. I know what you're trying to do because I'm winning. You're trying to take the winner out. Trying to do the winner. That's okay. That's okay. Because there's stuff happening in my life. It's cool. But you gotta know that. You gotta know that. If it's compromised, that's another story. But the enemy comes after the winners. Because when they fall, the damage is greater. Because all of a sudden, all the stuff you've been talking about, all that reflection of Christ starts to dim and wane. Because you were shining bright like a diamond. All that stuff was happening, right? You did all that stuff, and all of a sudden now it's wicks out. Discredited because you weren't where you were supposed to be in the right season. It'd be different if it was Christmas time. And they were on furlough. But even then, the temptation would have still been there. Let's all stand on our feet. Right now, it is, quote, springtime when everyone should be at war. This is not the winter. Where it's too cold to fight. You're in the wrong state for that. We're all in springtime. I'm just looking from a spiritual perspective. Spiritually. You need to be out with fellow believers. Winning at life. Fighting in battles. Loving God. Embracing community. You need to be doing all this stuff. This is where you need to be at. You don't need to be at home for extended periods of time. Seasons. Lonely. Best recipe? Get around other people. Too much temptation in my life. Get around other believers. There should not be seasonal separation in churches. There should not be that. You need to be loving God throughout every season. You got winter, spring, summer, fall. You need to be year-round, man. I am in church. I am around other believers. I understand work schedules. And whatever it is, you need to be in some sort of community that you're catching some stuff, that the Spirit of God is encouraging you, that you're getting charged, you're involved in some sort of group, so that when the temptation does come and check out and it gets hot, that you're still in. No, got my lifeline. I'm good. That's why we do what we do. That's why it's a community of believers. It's not isolation, and I'm going to get what I can get on my own, by myself. Do your devotions. Do it. But get out the house And when the doors were open to church, go. Something's happening in the community, go. Why? God knows the value. He looked at Adam. It's not good for him to be alone. I got to make him a suitable helper. Who knows what kind of helper God would send you if you'll just open the door and get out. Lord, every person in this house who's in this season, Lord, it's springtime. It's springtime. Everyone is in some sort of battle spiritually. They should be. Fighting for God's best and trying to take ground. Lord, whether it be loved ones that they're believing for salvation, we know right now in Jesus' name, you said that salvation will come to our households and our extended households. And we are believing right now for those loved ones who are playing the game, Lord, who are atheistic in their viewpoint, Lord, that you would change their mind, that there would just be a change of heart and they would recognize you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those who are dealing with sons and daughters who are playing games, get a hold of their heart right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Spirit of God just moving, Lord, in houses, in places of influences, wherever they go. Lord, I pray that you would show up in their cars. Intervene supernaturally. Lord, for parents who need to reestablish authority in their home, help them to do that. And for marriages who have checked out of the fight, Lord, I pray that you would light a fire back up into them to get back in it. Because the world does not need to see another Christian couple divorced. Lord, those that are out playing games,